Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We study the theme, Oneness in Christ, Lesson 5. The experience of unity in the early church. When the first Christians came out of the Jewish community, they developed bonds of love. We are surprised how this could work. So much love in this early church. How could this happen? Days of preparation. Before anything great can start, it needs days of preparation. Just before Jesus ascended to heaven, he told his disciples, wait in Jerusalem, wait till you get power. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Prepare for that. Now, we read how they prepared for that. After the ascension of Jesus, they went back to Jerusalem and waited. And there, in waiting, they did something. They did something very special. When they arrived, we read in verse 11, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And then we read about all the names which were there. And they all joined together, we read in verse 14, constantly in prayer. Days of preparation. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Because they had got a message. Wait there till you receive the Holy Spirit, and it will be power for you. And you will be, when you have received this power, my witnesses. First, receiving power. Then, you can be witnesses. And you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. And here, in these few verses, we see the secret of this. Joining together constantly in prayer. We as the people of God nowadays, how can we prepare for the arrival of Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which will be before his coming back in the clouds? In exactly the same way. Constantly joining together in prayer. What does that mean? Having a name. Being concentrated on the most important fact. And asking Jesus for the receiving of the Spirit. Not just it would be fine if. Imagine, if you would like to live in a house and you sit in front of your TV or your computer and think, oh, it would be fine. Will it ever happen? You must act according to the aim. Without action, you will never get there. Just dreaming about something? If we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then we have to do something about it. Coming together, praying for that, God will act in accordance with our desire, with our love for Him. From Babel to Pentecost, the days of spiritual preparation, they culminated in the events of Pentecost, of course. They prepared for 10 days. So after Christ's resurrection, 40 days passed. Then they experienced Christ's ascension. 10 days passed, and they experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So from the resurrection till the outpouring, 50 days passed. Now, this is a fine parable, because at Pentecost, this religious feast of the Jews, the first fruits of their summer harvest were presented to the Lord. The first fruits. And here at Pentecost, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which eventually led to the baptism of 3,000 persons, we see the first fruit of the early Christian church. It's a nice parable, isn't it? Now, here in Acts chapter 2, verse 5, we see what happened after this outpouring of the Spirit. The apostles were able to speak in foreign languages from one second to the other. It was a miracle. So Peter talked in a special foreign language, and John and James and Nathanael and so on. Now, to religious feasts, Jews from all over the Eastern Mediterranean area came to Jerusalem. From here, and here, and here, and all these areas here, up to over there, and down here, they all came to Jerusalem. So if someone comes from here, he knows the language from there. Or when he comes from Greek, he knows this language. And so on. Even from Rome, Jews traveled to Jerusalem. This was a tradition, meeting in Jerusalem. So, when people came from all of these areas, they suddenly heard the apostles, fishermen who had lived at the Lake of Galilee all their life up to that time. They were able to speak languages thousands of kilometers far away. How can that be? So people came together in a temple courtyard. One told the other, "Listen, come. You haven't heard that before. Come. They talk in our foreign language. Listen." And they all ran together. And then Peter started a sermon showing that the prophet Joel had already prophesied this outpouring of the Holy Spirit hundreds of years before. And the people were so shocked when they heard, "We have crucified," so in a way the leaders of the Jews, "but we as Jews have crucified the Messiah. What now? What should we do now? We can't turn back the events." Is that it has happened? Now, when they were in kind of shock, Paul tells them. We read in verse 37 in chapter 2 of the Acts. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive." What will they receive? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Unity of fellowship. In Acts chapter 2, verse 20, 42, we read the following. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is the first point. The apostles had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. And they had learned a lot during these years. And now the Holy Spirit reminded them what had Jesus taught. They got in remembrance. And they told the new disciples, the new followers, the 3,000 new ones about Jesus. They had to be instructed. They were babies in knowledge, the new ones. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is the truth. And we listen to it, we want to know it, we want to be informed, and we want to act according to what we have heard. Then they devoted themselves to the fellowship. So they were together, not everyone somewhere, single, alone, in a hidden place. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They came together as often as possible. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. So they had meals together, which made this fellowship closer and more loving. And they devoted themselves to prayer. These four elements. Listen to the apostles' teaching. We're together, fellowship. We're together when eating, breaking the bread, celebrating the Last Supper, and devoted themselves to prayer. And these four elements made them to unity. The unity of fellowship. And because of this unity, they were able to do things you can hardly dream about. Some people even sold their property, land, houses. Selling is one thing, but they brought it to the money they had got from the selling and brought it to the apostles and said, "It's a gift for those who do not have anything." Because widows or women who had been thrown out of the family household because they had become Christians, they were without any income, without any shelter, and they stayed together. They helped each other. So those who had more sold it, brought the money to the apostles, and then for some time it went on. And in their thinking, it could not take long, because they had experienced Jesus coming and going, appearing, disappearing for 40 days after his resurrection from the dead. And they thought, well, now we've got the Spirit. So many Jews have become Christians. Soon, Jesus will come back with all his angels. It can't take long. Because of this thinking, it can't take long. They sold everything they had when they had something to sell. I do not need it anymore. Jesus will come. I do not need this field, this house anymore. If I have I do not need this property anymore. When Jesus comes, He, the Lord, will provide flats for me. I do not need this surroundings here anymore. What love for each other. Generosity and greed. We read in Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. Barnabas is one of these persons. We read about him. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, that's here, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. What a title, son of encouragement. Today we have titles like bachelor, master, doctor. What was the title in 2,000 years ago? Son of encouragement. Interesting. Son of encouragement. Barnabas, that's the name for that. What did he do? He sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. That's Barnabas. But we hear a different story as well. In chapter 5, we hear about Ananias and Sapphira. They had a property as well. They had experienced, the people in the church, they looked at Barnabas. Whoa, he owned a field, he sold it, he brought the money to the apostles. And Barnabas was lifted up. And they wanted to be lifted up in honor as well. So they sold their property, and then they had the money in hands. And then they had the money in hands. It was quite much. And, well, do we really want to give all this to the apostles? Let's hold something back. They can hold everything of it back to their household. Nobody forces them. Giving is free. So you are not forced to. And then they made a plan. And then Ananias brought a part of the money he had got for it. And it's fine. He could have brought 10%, 50%, whatever. But he brought a part and said, it's 100%. This was a lie. This was not the truth. So he wanted to get points for selling, and this would be a double advantage, wouldn't it be? You are honored in the church because you have brought everything, but you still have something for your household as well. Advantages over advantages. advantages about advantages, but the Lord knows. And the Spirit told Peter, it's a lie. So Peter asked, is this the full sum you got? And now Ananias could have said, it's two-thirds of the selling price, or 60%, or whatever. And he said, yeah, yes, 100%, of course. Because of this lie, he fell dead to the ground and was buried by the young man. Hours later, his wife Sapphira came to the apostles because she wondered why her husband hadn't come back. He wanted to bring the money and then come back home, telling her how it had worked. Now they had money at home, money there, they were honored there, and had still something in reserve of the money. And when she came there, Peter asked her the same question. Now, your husband has brought some money. Is it 100%? Is it 100% of the selling price or less? And she repeated what her husband had said. It's 100%, of course. How can you dare to ask? And then Peter told her, because of this lie, your husband has been buried. And you will be buried too. She was so shocked, fell down to the ground, was dead. And the young man who had just buried her husband took her and buried her beside her husband. This was a shock for the early church. And we never ever hear again that people wanted to play tricks on the apostles. Remember the poor. The apostle Paul traveled around, and in all the churches he came to, we see it here on his first and second missionary journey, and on his third missionary journey, wherever he came, to Ephesus, Troas, Philippi, Thessaloniki, Berea, Athens, Corinth, wherever he was, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, wherever, he collected money for the poor people in Jerusalem, within the early Christian church. Now, when he told the people in all the heathen churches about this, so the churches where the Greek environment was prevalent, he writes in 2 Corinthians, so he writes here to the church in Corinth, in Greece. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting verse 6. Remember this. And he shows the work of a farmer. If a farmer is greedy and doesn't want to give away his corn, if he sows sparingly, what will be the outcome? The fruit will be less, of course. And he writes here, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. The more you throw into the field, the more you can get back. If you say, no, I don't want to throw out so much. I want to eat more of that. You won't eat much next year. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, coercion? Of course not. It's your free will. If you don't want to give, why should you? Don't be a hypocrite. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. Not a sad one. Oh, I have to give for the Lord. Oh, bad. Forget it. You won't get a reward for that. And God is able. He is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. All that you need. It isn't written all that you would like to have, but all that you need. You will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad the gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. And Paul went around and collected, and he wrote in beforehand and said, when I come there, then it's too late to start taking money for this collection. You must start now keeping it back and not using it. Because then when I will come, I will go through. I will not stay long. And it will be too short for you. The time will be too short for you to have enough money to give what you would like to give. Now start now saving money that you have enough if you love to give. The point is not reluctantly, out of free will, a joyful giver the Lord will reward, and only a joyful. Summary. Now, what have we learned in the early church? At first, the apostles had days of preparation for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They stayed together in prayer. They knew it's important to get the Spirit. Without the filling of the Spirit, forget about it. So they prepared. And Jesus had said, only a few days. Then you will get it. So they stayed together and prayed for this outpouring. And they told each other if they had committed sins to each other and asked for forgiveness, they became a unity in Christ. This was the first point. Then when the Spirit came and they could speak in foreign tongues from one second to the other, and all the people flocked together in the temple courtyard in Jerusalem, Peter held his famous sermon at Pentecost, and 3,000 were baptized this very day. That very day. So, imagine, if you had been there, 3,000 candidates, 3,000, being baptized on one day. Oh, what a day. What a day of joy. And they were together, devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, fellowship, breaking bread, devoting themselves to prayer. These were the four elements of unity. And they had such a loving fellowship that those who had fields, houses, property, and so on, they brought it, sold it, and brought the money to the apostles, and they could buy food and give shelter for those who had lost everything because they had become Christians. And we hear how Barnabas, son of encouragement, that's the name in the English language when it's translated, he sold the field and brought the money to the apostles and was honored in the church, of course, because of that. And then Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to be honored too, but they didn't have the correct motives. Because when they had the money in their hands, after they had sold the property, selling is one thing, but when the money is there in your hand, to give it away, sometimes it doesn't want to get out of your hand. It's kind of sticky, isn't it? But it sticks to your heart. And they wanted to get two things in one basket. Being honored and still having reserve of money. And when Ananias and Sapphira told the same lie, they died together the very same day. Never ever we hear that someone wanted to play tricks on the apostles. And then we hear that the Apostle Paul, when he went around on his missionary journeys, collected money for the poor people of the church in Jerusalem. They were so poor that the others who were poor too, but not as poor as the ones in Jerusalem, were willing to pay, that in the end, Paul could bring a huge sum to the church in Jerusalem. It was a miracle. And Paul did it to show, see, we are united. We are unity in Christ. Oneness in Christ.